Amen. Thank you, choir. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. I'd like to invite you to turn to Matthew, chapter 28 this morning. The title of our sermon this morning is the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. It reads, "And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse 6, it reads, He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we are thankful for this opportunity to spend these few moments together, rejoicing, reflecting, remembering not only the death, the burial, but also the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We ask now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. O God, guide us into an understanding of your eternal word, we pray. And I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. May we all have a greater understanding concerning the relevance of the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ this day. In his precious name we do pray. Amen. I looked up a definition for the word miracle, and the best I could find was a miracle is an event that is unexplainable. Unexplainable by natural or scientific laws. Definition of a miracle. An event that is unexplainable by natural or scientific laws. I'd like to spend a few moments this morning addressing the issue of the miracle of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Biblical Christianity rests on the historical fact of the risen Christ. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if Christ be not risen, our faith is vain. Biblical Christianity distinctively stands above all the main religions of the world because its founder, Jesus Christ, not only died for our sins, was buried, and the Bible teaches us he rose again. And the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, that he lives. And beyond that, the Bible teaches us that within the life of the child of God, he liveth within him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a miraculous reality today. I'd like to share with you a number of key reasons why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a miraculous reality. Has effect upon you and I this very day. And the first principle I'd like for us to note is that God became flesh. God became flesh for the purpose of dying in our place. And then he rose again. The miraculous reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that God became flesh for the purpose of dying in our place, and then the Bible teaches us he rose again. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, read. "And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God became flesh. In John chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible teaches us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ, being equal with God the Father, was prepared to set aside his royalty and took upon human flesh, 100% God, Jesus Christ, became 100% man, and yet remained 100% God. He was prepared to set aside his reputation. He was prepared to be belittled, so to speak, and the Bible teaches us that he took the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. God was made in the likeness of men. This is what we call the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God took upon human flesh, incarnate in flesh. God became flesh, took the form of a servant, the Bible teaches, walked among men in the likeness of men, and being fashioned as a man, he humbly and obediently obeyed the will of God the Father and died on an old rugged cross for your sins and for my sins. The reality of a risen Christ, the miraculous reality of a risen Christ, begins with the fact that God became flesh. 100% God became 100% man, remained 100% God, set aside his royalty, so to speak, and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is a miracle in itself. Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost, the Bible teaches us. Born of a virgin, the Bible teaches us. And he that was without sin became sin for us. He that knew no sin became sin. Died in your place. Died in my place. That we might be made righteous in Jesus Christ. The reality of a miraculous Christ who was willing to become flesh in order to die for man. God came down to man and died in his place. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that man can go up to God in heaven. God came down in order that man might have the hope of eternal life. The miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that God became flesh, died in our place, and on the third day he arose from the grave victoriously. The second principle I'd like for us to note this morning concerning the miracle of the resurrection, not only did God become flesh, but secondly, the Lord Jesus literally died, physically died for our sins. And he was buried and he rose again. Jesus Christ was not just wounded on a cross. Jesus Christ did not just faint on the cross. Jesus Christ died a physical death, a literal physical death, was buried, and then he arose from the dead. Note there in the book of Matthew, please, once again, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27, verses 50 to 54, the Bible reads, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent or torn in twain, in two, from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of saints which slept arose. And came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Note verse 54, now when the centurion, the Roman soldier, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Jesus Christ not only came in human flesh, God became flesh and dwelt among us. That is a miracle in itself. The virgin birth, the virgin entrance into the world by the eternal Creator, Son of God. That's a miracle on its own. But also Jesus Christ literally, physically died for our sins, the Bible teaches us. And because He literally, physically died for our sins, the Bible teaches us that He rose again from the dead. He was betrayed, led to an unjust trial, unjustly treated. The Bible teaches us He was crucified, and upon that old rugged cross, Jesus Christ died for our sins, the Bible teaches us, according to the Scriptures. In fact, the Roman soldiers were so convinced that He was dead that they didn't bother to break His leg. Note there in the Gospel of John, please, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 32 to 35. The Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 32 to 35. It was a practice, a common practice within Roman time, just to make sure that crucified one was dead, that they would snap the legs that way. Painful. That would get a cry out of them if they were still alive. And the Bible teaches us here in verse 32, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first thief and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that He was dead already. They break not His legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. So John the Apostle affirms that this is a true account of what took place. These Roman soldiers were convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ was dead. He physically died. They didn't bother breaking His legs, but they broke the legs of the thief on His left and the thief on His right. But when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, they were absolutely convinced He was dead. And they didn't break His legs. My friend, this morning, the miracle of the resurrection rests upon the fact that Jesus Christ became flesh. God became flesh, number one. And secondly, Jesus Christ literally died for your sins and for my sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ died a literal, physical death, was buried, and He rose again. So the resurrection of Christ is a miracle because it involves the Son of God who did die. He didn't just faint. He wasn't just exhausted. No, He died physically, and the Roman soldiers of that day were absolutely convinced that He was dead. The Bible teaches us that they didn't break His legs. The miracle of the resurrection. He physically, literally died
was buried and rose again. God became flesh. And as we read on in the book of Matthew, please, chapter 27, back to the book of Matthew, chapter 27, I'd like for us to note concerning his resting place, Joseph of Arimathea, a rich individual that had a tomb set aside, begged for the body of Jesus Christ at the hand of Pilate, and he said, please, can I take his body and bury him within my tomb, an unused tomb? And note here in Matthew chapter 27, please, Matthew chapter 27, verse 62, to 66, it reads, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch. So the Bible teaches us that not only was Jesus Christ, his body was placed within a tomb, the Bible teaches us this tomb was secured. It was sure. That's in reference to a huge stone rolled over the face of that tomb. And then the Bible also teaches us very in detail here in verse 66, sealing the stone. Well, what does that mean? That means that they placed a Roman seal over that stone that covered the tomb. Now, for you to break that seal automatically meant death. So not only was the tomb sealed secure by this stone that would have weighed between 1 and 2 tons, it would have covered the tomb, it was as secure as it could possibly be. But they didn't stop there, they sealed it with a Roman seal. Oh, to break that seal meant death. So they sealed the tomb, the tomb, and then the Bible teaches us in verse 66, they set a watch, they placed a guard, a number of Roman soldiers to guard the tomb. And they were commissioned to guard that tomb with their very life for the next 3 days, because this one that has died has promised to come back to life. So there was a great stone rolled over the tomb, there was a Roman seal put over the tomb, and then there was a watch set. There would have been a number of Roman soldiers. It varies concerning the experts as to how many, but there would have been no less than possibly 10 to 12 to 14 Roman soldiers guarding around that tomb to make it as secure as it could possibly be. Lest somebody come, the disciples, that's ironic, the disciples who fled, come and steal the body and claim that Christ is risen. That was very unlikely. Take place. Well, the Bible teaches us here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, the Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Note verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And note verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers, plural, there were a number of them, did shake and became as dead men. And the angel said, fear not, I know that ye seek Jesus, to these two Marys, the one that was crucified, He is risen. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. My friend, the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is based upon the fact that God became man. God who became man died a literal death. And God who became man was buried, and yet the Bible teaches us He arose from the dead. In spite of the surety of the stone, the seal of the Roman Empire, and the guarding of those Roman soldiers, Jesus Christ arose. And beyond that, the Bible teaches us that He was witnessed by many over a period of 40 days. Note then the book of Acts is Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, the third verse, it reads. Acts chapter 1, third verse. To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Note then verse 9, the Bible teaches us, of Acts 1, and when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, the risen Christ, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. The miracle of the risen Christ. The miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only did God become man, not only did God in becoming man die a physical death, was buried, and yet the Bible teaches us He arose from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. And Dr. Luke here in the book of Acts records the fact that he was eyewitness for no less than 40 days. 40 days following His resurrection, people saw the risen Christ. People not only saw the risen Christ, they heard His very teaching. And before those apostles, the Bible teaches us, He was literally alive, taken up back to heaven, and these angels said with great comfort and hope in their heart, the same Jesus that is taken from you one day will come again. Praise God for the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. Our Savior did not remain in the grave. He arose from the dead. And because He is alive, He lives evermore. He lives within the life of the blood-bought child of God. And the Bible teaches us that with His ascension will one day mean that one day He will come back to collect believers and lead us into the eternal realm. Note then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul gives us a clear and definite description of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. And why there is hope in the gospel. Note here in verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. We'll read down to verse number 8. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, as ye have, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the twelve apostles. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me, the apostle Paul also, as of one born out of due time. So within this passage of Scripture, my friend, the Bible clearly outlines for you and I what the gospel is. The gospel is the death of Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ was buried according to the Scriptures. And on the third day, Christ arose from the dead. That's the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, we hear so much concerning what the gospel is. But the gospel, according to the Word of God, is the provision of salvation for all mankind. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul the Apostle testifies here in verse number 6 that no less than 500 individuals witnessed the risen Christ at one time. So you connect that with Acts chapter 1, the third verse, over a period of 40 days. So Jesus Christ proved that he was the eternal Son of God. God became flesh, dwelt amongst men, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And though he was placed in a sealed tomb, Christ arose from the dead. And people witnessed his resurrection. People witnessed the life of Christ beyond the grave. The miracle of a risen Christ. Because we serve a living Savior, and because Christ is still alive, lives can be changed. Lives can be transformed. Men, women, and children can still today experience forgiveness and a changed life. Note there in Acts chapter 2, please, the book of Acts chapter 2. In verse number 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. Note then verse 23 and 24. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. Verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So Peter preaches the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And note then verse number 38, as a result of that, the people cried out, what shall we do? And note then verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My friend, this morning, Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And he has provided salvation for all humanity in his death, burial, and resurrection. And when Jesus Christ cried out on that cross, it is finished. That's exactly what he meant. Sin has been paid for once and for all, completely. And all that we must do is to acknowledge that we are in sin. We need a Savior and be prepared to believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and then repent and receive him. receive Him as Savior and Lord. And Peter said, repent. Repent for the remission of sins. And once you've repented and experienced that forgiveness of sin, then you are to identify with the work of Christ by being scripturally baptized by immersion. And note then verse number 41, please, and 42, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. The same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly. So we see that people listened to the words of Peter the Apostle as he preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. They repented of their sin, and the Bible teaches us that 3,000 on that given day, 3,000 placed their faith in Jesus Christ the Savior, and on that day they were scripturally baptized by immersion. What a day. A life of change. That's what Jesus Christ brings. See, the miracle of the risen Christ is that in the gospel, God changes lives. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. The gospel transcends language, languages, cultures, life status, skin color, rich or poor, doesn't matter. There are people all over the world who testify to the same fact that Jesus Christ has changed my life. Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sin. Jesus Christ has made me anew. I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. Why is that possible? It's possible because Christ arose. He's a living Savior. He's a living Savior. And He lives within every blood-bought child of God. Christ liveth in me. My friend, that's the difference between Christianity and religion. Religion is man's endeavor to reach God. But the Bible teaches us not by works of righteousness which we have done. All our works of righteousness are as filthy rags before a holy God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You don't pay for gifts. But in fact, somebody has to pay for the gift to offer the gift freely. Yeah. Jesus Christ paid for the gift of eternal life. And He offers that gift to you and I. That's Bible Christianity. That's Bible Christianity. So my friend, this morning on this Easter Sunday, I'd like to encourage you to consider as to whether you have the risen Christ living within your life. Because if you will repent and receive Jesus Christ as Savior, acknowledging your sin, believing the gospel, you can be saved and have the risen Christ living within you. And therefore you can likewise testify that I know my Savior lives because He lives within me. And He's changed my life. That's what Easter Sunday is all about. When Christ lives within you, you and I, as God's people, can have victory over sin. In Romans chapter 6, please. Look at Romans chapter 6. I'm almost done. Bear with me for two more moments. Note here in Romans chapter 6. Verses 4 and 5, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Look at verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So baptism, physical baptism, death, burial, resurrection. That's why we as Bible-believing Christians, I say Bible-believing Christians, believe that baptism is by immersion. It's the only baptism you'll find in the Bible. In fact, the word means to immerse. It means to dip under, to submerge. Baptism pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And in the New Testament, whenever a person received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to publicly declare their faith, they would get baptized. And that was a public announcement, I'm a Christian. I have the life of Christ. I'm not ashamed of him. But also baptism pictures our new life. We died with sin and we've been raised into newness of life. And beloved, for those of us that are Christians this morning, for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, rejoice in the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And he lives within your heart. He lives within my heart by faith and by faith alone. And therefore we can have victory over sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Note then verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. The word dominion there means king. Sin is no longer king of your life. You have a new master. His name is Jesus Christ. So therefore we can have victory over sin. We can live in victory and enjoy what we refer to as the victorious Christian life. Because of the miracle of the risen Christ. And in honor of the risen Christ, God's people worship the Lord on Easter Sunday. Note there in Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. In verse number 7. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, Sunday, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. That was a long sermon on that day. Look at verse 18 of Acts chapter 20. Acts 20 verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have seen with you, I have been with you all at all seasons. The Apostle Paul acknowledges the fact that he had devoted his life to the gospel. And as he addresses the church at Ephesus, he said, from the very first day that I've seen you, I've been true to the gospel. I've tried to share everything I know with you. And God's people collectively met on this first day of the week. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I promise you our last verse for this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up by him in store as God hath prospered him. There be no gatherings when I come. So from the risen Christ, God's people in memory and in celebration of a risen Christ, they assembled and met on the first day of the week, on the Sunday, to commemorate their risen Lord, their risen Saviour. And on this Easter Sunday, I'd like to encourage you concerning the fact that we serve a risen Lord, a risen Saviour. And one day He's coming back. He's coming again to take you and I from this sin-cursed earth with all of its deficiencies. We will be delivered forevermore as the people of God. But until that day, we have a hope. We have a hope in Christ Jesus. And from the New Testament time, from the time of our Lord's resurrection, God's people would collectively assemble together and worship God on the first day of the week in memory of the risen Christ. That's why we have church on Sunday. In fact, that's why we will always have church on Sunday. I'm not into Saturday night church. I'm not into Friday night church. I'm into Sunday church. First day of the week church. Now, if you worship Friday night as well, that's great. Saturday night, in fact, every day of the week, if you're open to it, let me know. But God's people worship the risen Christ in the privacy of their own lives daily. Yes, we assemble together and worship God collectively. But I trust this is not the only time that you worship God. I trust for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, I trust that you worship Him on a daily basis. But yet we rejoice and we remember the risen Christ by collectively worshipping God on the Lord's Day, the Sunday. And I'd like to encourage you, yes, this is Easter Sunday. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. Every Sunday. So come back next Sunday for Easter Sunday. And the Sunday after Easter Sunday. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. Oh, but Pastor, that sounds a little bit fanatical. Oh, my friend, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, it's not fanatical. It's not unusual. It's a joy to worship our risen Christ. And I trust and pray that you, here this morning, know my Lord and know my Saviour. The miracle of a risen Christ. The miracle of a risen Christ. Let's not take that for granted, child of God. Let's live in victory over sin. Let's make the most of our time of fellowship one with another. Let's do everything we can to go into the highways and byways and tell others about Christ, the hope of the world. The hope of the world is not peace. The hope of the world is exterminate ISIS. That's not the hope of the world. Because once you exterminate ISIS, there'll be somebody else. Yeah. The hope of the world is Jesus Christ. He is the hope. He is our living Saviour. He's not the same as Muhammad. He's not the same as Buddha. He's a risen Lord. He's a risen Saviour. His tomb is empty to this very day. And may God help us to proclaim the risen Christ and have that hope within, that to be absent from this body, no matter what happens, is to be present with the Lord. You can have that hope on this Easter Sunday. Let's bow for prayer.